You are tuned in to Lightworkers Lounge, tales of having a human experience in a spiritual world.
He's back. Did you listen to the end of my podcast yesterday?
I haven't made it to the end of yesterday's,
no. You should just go ahead and fast forward because I just doted on you.
What's that mean?
Just adored you. Just gushed about you.
Aww. Yeah. Why? Gush on me in person.
You gotta go. I do. Oh. I did on your podcast. I listened to it. I said something on your show just like acknowledging you and what you've been through and triumphed through. And you paused. And you were like, wow, thank you. It was so cute. That fishbowl analogy we always use is so funny because we're in our fishbowl. We don't realize what our relationship is like at all because it's just our day to day. But then when people come stay with us, like when Mama did for a month, and she was like, you guys tell each other everything? You'll sit down at a table and look at each other and talk about that? And we're like, yeah, you don't? Or we don't realize how health conscious we are until we go stay with other people. And we're like, oh my God, are we nitpicky?
No. No, it was cool. I just got back from Denver doing my, you know, watching Ben Newman. I've talked about him before on the podcast. So
I told him.
But when we were at the house the night before I left, one of my friends, Brett's, his son, was drinking a Coke. And Brett was looking at him like, dude, what are you doing? Like, we don't drink those. And he's like, I know, we just had one and I'm drinking it. And I thought to myself in that moment, I was like, you know what? We are health conscious. This is going to go one of two ways. They're going to be like, oh, that's over the top, or wow, I didn't think of that way. And you would have been proud. I looked at him. He's like 14. And I said, I knew how smart he was. And I said, man, Cokes aren't horrible, even though they are. I was like, but man, do you know what's really bad in there? High fructose corn syrup. It's gross. And so he got on his phone, Googled it, and he was like, Mom, this is disgusting. Yeah. And I was like, and then his mom looked at me and was like, thanks.
Yeah, it's so simple. Yeah. And I know sodas and pops, whatever you call them, from wherever you are, they're a treat. They're fun. But there's so many options now. Like if you're going to have a soda, have it, savor it, sip it, enjoy it with good company, but get something that just has plain sugar.
And then this.
Just look for the word sugar.
And the reason I say this is because it'll tie into what you're about to read and how everything that you do in life and everything you put in your body and around your body, there's an effect. And it'll make sense once you kind of get into today's podcast.
Beautifully said. Well, since we are in a little time crunch because we are just busy, busy people, I did brag about you and say he's in Denver just making dreams come true and your ability to network and put yourself out there. And it's just so admirable and so cool. And
thank you.
You just go listen.
I will. No.
But welcome back, baby Jay. I want, while you were gone, since we've kind of spent a lot of time apart because we've just been really busy in our individual pursuits, I was going to do an Astro Advice column alone, but it just felt so wrong. Like taking off on a runway with just a left wing. I'm like, I can't do this. I need my masculine, my feet on the ground. I can't just be head in the stars. So, guys, Jeffrey the pug is sitting right on my lap because I am in the bright sunshine and he's enjoying it. So the snorts will be a little loud in this episode, but this is why you're here, to have the ambience of a pug in the background.
True.
Everyone's favorite sound. So welcome back to Astro Advice Column, where at least a couple times a week, baby Jay, my boyfriend and I, we get on the microphone and we bring you feet on the ground, head in the stars. He is our masculine anchor, grounding, feet on the ground reality.
Virgo.
And he is a Virgo, let us not forget. He is our earth sign. I am a Sagittarius, fire sign, but also very watery, psychic. I'm the astrologer here, where I bring in the birth charts and give you tailored advice to your specific soul blueprint based off of the story you sent. So as you hear these, know that you can submit your story to us to have a chance to have it read live on air. spowers@lightworkers-lounge.com. It will be in the show notes. One paragraph or less, attach your birth chart. Let's do this. So today's story is deep. We've been talking a lot about life purpose, feeling stuck, career, has been a hot one for us on the Astro Advice episodes. So today we're going to take a big turn and we're going to talk about mental health and relationships. This story comes from a May 21st. Let me get her chart. I'm pretty sure she's a Gemini. Oh.
No, that's still Taurus.
She's right on the cusp. Okay, so while you talk, I'm like, yeah, she's a 0-degree Gemini. So
oh my
gosh. She's brand new. Guys, when you are 0-degree in your birth chart, that sign is brand new to you. So if you're a Leo and you see all the memes, like, I'm supposed to look good and have confidence and be like Beyonce, but you're like, no, I never wear makeup. I don't care how I look. That's not me. You're probably a 0-5-degree Leo. You need to learn to have that confidence. Learn to dress up and be flamboyant, right? So, we have a Gemini, Cancer Moon, Sagittarius Rising. Ooh, I like this. So, she writes in. Here goes. I'm a 26-year-old female wanting to find love again. I'm not keen on dating many men. I do believe I'll meet someone special somehow, some way, but two things hold me back, and I really wish they didn't. The first thing, one. I have a daughter, and I'm afraid of going into a relationship just for it to end and her to see that. This may be a normal part of relationships, but I saw it happen with my mother from ages 3 till 6, and it has partly formed how I view relationships and men. Basically, that the men are just there for my mom and sex and not for me. I really don't want this view to pass down to my daughter. So that is the first part of this. The second part is, two, I have bipolar type 1. I'm personally more manic than depressive. This affected me last year when I became hypomanic. A part of my hypomania is becoming infatuated with someone. For me, it was like being in love. It was also what I was told it looked like from an outside perspective. I was crushing hard. The downside of this is when I become, well, stable again, I am so embarrassed about how I have treated everyone. The crush, myself, my friends and family, I forget they exist and my sole focus is the person I'm infatuated with. What do you guys think? That was a lot. Did you get all that?
Yeah, she...
She wrote a lot, but I love it. She really didn't miss a beat with anything.
Yeah. No, I think... that first and foremost, the greatest thing you can do for yourself and those around you is highlight the things that you're good at before you dive into the things that are you're not so good at or that you're struggling with. And when you read that, and when I read it, one of the things that I believe that she is not realizing that she's very strong and doing a really good job with is that she has the emotional intelligence and awareness to say, I don't want to pour this trauma onto my child that my mother poured onto me. Like that alone takes a lot of awareness. And I think there's something there for her to dive into and build on and start to maybe apply what she's good at and the other avenues of what she's struggling with.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Now let's break this. This was a lot, and I've got to say, a lot of people who are high-functioning cerebral, like intellectually, mm-hmm. typically suffer from anxiety, panic, bipolar, depression, because they're just so high-functioning. They can see through everything. Mm-hmm. They overthink. It's really hard to ground that part of you. Now, two parts to her question. So she's trying to find love.
Yeah.
She wants to find a life partner,
mm-hmm.
right?
Yeah.
The first thing is she has a daughter. So remove the past traumas, your childhood traumas. It's hard to have a child, to have created a life with somebody else and then go create a new family with someone who did not biologically create that life with you.
It's in her shoes.
We know this firsthand because you have two little ones from your previous marriage.
Yeah. Yeah,
do you really resonate with her on that?
It's hard because there's a... The thing is once you get to where I'm at today, you realize that there is a possibility of things going wrong regardless. But the story you create as a parent in that situation is I have a child, and if the other person falls in love with me and I fall in love with them, and then they just don't like the situation, this could be the reason that I lose the love of my life. Mm-hmm. But the thing that I've come to realize is you never lose what's meant to be, ever. But it's scary. It is. Because at any moment you could make the decision to walk away from the relationship because of something that's absolutely not in my control. Mm-hmm. And that's like the ultimate form of letting go.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I agree with that. And I think from a masculine feminine perspective, so if a man and a woman has a child, I feel like it's more difficult for the woman, the mother, to go date because mm-hmm. men naturally don't have that nurturing spirit to them as much as a woman. So when I met your boys, mm-hmm. I was like, oh, I'm mom. I'm bonus mom here, and I'm going to love them as if I birthed them. Mm-hmm. It's just a natural feeling, no matter how our relationship is, no matter how much their mother disrespects me or doesn't like me.
Yeah.
Those are two little babies to me that I just have a switch hits off, and I'm like, protect, nurture, feed, bathe, raise. It just happens. Men don't have that. And so I can understand how she's like, men just want sex. That all of us women have that inkling, you know? Like men just think women are crazy and hormonal. We just think men just want sex. That's why we get Botox and fake boobs and butts. Because we're like, if I don't stay sexually attractive, he's going to leave me to go find someone who is.
Right? And then, but then I look at, it's true. And then I look at people like my friend Tony, who is the man in that situation. And he understands it and gets it and is compassionate with it. And I know it's scary, right? Like she's basically saying, like, I'm terrified that I will, the man will either not want to be with me because I have a child, or I'm going to repeat the cycle that my mother repeated, and I'm going to harm my daughter like my mom did to me. So there's like two parts to that, as where, you know, most people only have to deal with one part being I have children. And so the fact that she's saying, you know, there's two levels to this, like, yeah, sure, I can get over, okay, I have a daughter. The person may not want to be in this relationship because I have one. But then the next part of that she's saying is, holy shit, if this person does love me, this is how deep it goes. I have a bipolar disorder that I could really hurt this person. While hurting this person, I could possibly hurt my daughter and pass down the same traumas again. So it's like the surface, the check mark number one for her is getting past finding love, and will this person love me with a daughter? Mm-hmm. That's like simple, feet on the ground. And then the next level that this poor girl's having to go through in her mind is, well, shit, am I going to repeat the cycle of my mom? And then the next level, am I going to flip out on my partner, mm-hmm. cause him harm, her harm? And you know what? It's better just to say, fuck it, be alone and want love, but just whatever.
Yeah.
And yeah, I can see how she's struggling.
Yeah. You know, friend who wrote this in, I really resonate with you as the child in this situation, because me too, my mother and biological father separated when I was like 4 or 5 years old, thank goodness. And she went on to date and she really struggles with relationships, but she picks great men. But I mean, we're gonna have to get her on the show to see like how all these relationships ended, because I loved all the guys she brought in. They were fun. They would dance and sing and play and go on adventures with us. I loved them all. There really wasn't one that I would, there was one that I would hide from, but most of them were great. And I would get to this threshold of like, can I call them dad? Is that okay in this situation? Like, and then it's almost like as soon as I, Scorpio Moon, got comfortable enough to say, I can call him dad, their relationship would end. Mm-hmm. And it'd be like, ah, dang it. Okay, that's okay. Maybe the next time.
Yeah.
So I really get this. I can't resonate in terms of having children, because again, that is a threshold I have yet to cross. But I can imagine dating with a child. These prospective partners, you just have to cross your fingers and hope that they'll fall in love with you and your child. Mm-hmm. And that your child will like them. Can you imagine if the boys didn't like me?
No.
And just like constantly said, I don't want to go see you, dad, because I'm like her. Like situations like that exist.
One thing I would tell her, and it just came to mind, is good men are out there. right? Good men want somebody to be upfront. And I think the things that she's so deeply scared of, if she can harness this power that she has to be upfront about all these things, right? Meet somebody and have that moment where you're like, oh, I kind of like this person. You know what? This is the moment. I need to be upfront. Hey, so-and-so, I want to be upfront and honest with you. This is what I struggle with. Here's where my fears are at. And this conversation is unbelievably fucking scary for me to have right now. Mm-hmm. But I'd like for you to know where I stand, where I'm at, what I'm working through, and what my good parts are. Like, here it is. Here's me getting naked with you right away. Because there is really good men out there who would look at that and say, you know what? I get it. We all struggle with something. And I will do my best to stand beside you through this. And then the comfort that could come from that mm-hmm. could help heal so much.
Yeah,
when you feel seen.
That's a really good point. If she could just communicate to her partner, like, hey, I'm in a manic phase yeah. and I'm going to just be so infatuated with you. If he just understands
yeah.
what's coming and how to handle it, maybe he can even work with you and your psychiatrist.
Yeah. Yeah. So there's
how can I handle this when she's in that phase? How can I help bring her down?
Yeah.
And love you through all the phases. And like Baby J just pointed out, you're going to find a partner who's going to have some baggage of his own. Whether it's a child, whether it's maybe he has bipolar, maybe he gets really depressed
yep.
sometimes, and you'll have to learn and co-create with him when he's in a down phase,
yep.
right? There's yep. always something. So friend, I hope you don't think that having bipolar makes you different and just makes you be a sore thumb and nobody else suffers from this, because we all have our thing.
Yep.
And you're so brave for sharing this with JL and I. I know you guys feel really close with us because we're very vulnerable with you guys on the airwaves, but that's brave. You knew we would read this out loud on a show. Yes, it's anonymous, but that's really awesome that yep. you were like, here it is, guys. I'm getting naked in front of you. Two complete strangers. Kudos to that. Now, going to her first part, her first piece. I have a daughter. I'm afraid of going into a relationship just for it to end because you saw that your mom do that. How did your mom handle it? Did she openly talk to you and say, hey, honey, I know you liked Brad, but we broke up because mommy has some work to do on herself, or it just didn't, like, if you just, kids are smart. Mm-hmm. We look at them as little Nickelodeon blobs, but they are so smart and will use us in our little family, for example. The last time we had the boys, your oldest said, Dad, you're married to mommy, right?
Mm-hmm.
And we were like, oh, okay. We could have easily just been like, no, we're not. But we mm-hmm. were like, no, but I used to be. And mm-hmm. you really did a gentle job of being both honest to where my eyes were like, oh, you're telling him that. Okay. But also, you know, and
yeah.
we kind of held our breath like, what's his response going to be? But he just looked at us. Gave us a look of like processing. And then he went, oh, okay.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, whereas if you were like, no, I don't like your mommy like that. Like, you know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah.
Just be honest with kids.
Yeah. They see and feel everything. And the confusion only comes when they see and feel one thing, but then they hear a different thing.
Mm-hmm.
Like if they hear the same thing that they're seeing and feeling, it's definitely easier for them to understand, good or bad. And I'll speak from being a child who was like, who was with a dad who was, in a sense, bipolar. He never was diagnosed with it. But to have 1 minute him say, I love you, baby, and then the next minute have him beat you, the only confusion, to be honest, comes from, do you love me or do you not? Yeah. Because the actions aren't lining up. Like if it were just one way or the other and you were just upfront and angry all the time, there'd be no confusion. I would right. understand. And so kids, they see it, they feel it. And the more you can be upfront and honest,
yeah. So you're helping them. When she says, I don't want this view to pass down to my daughter, then don't let it.
Yeah.
You know, kids form the view that you did, which is men just want to have sex with my mom and not even look at me, because you were left alone as a young girl to say, what is this? What is this all about? And maybe your mom was so hurt by men that she, in passing, she probably doesn't even remember saying it, but said, ugh, all men want is sex. They suck.
Mm-hmm.
And you, as a little girl, were so impressionable and thought, oh, they do? Okay.
Yeah.
So again, if you just communicate to your daughter instead of leaving her alone to form her own opinions and say, this is what happened. I love him. But sometimes love doesn't last, and that's okay. Mm-hmm. It's okay to choose yourself and move on and find partners who are better. Her little mind will go, oh, and this is a beautiful chance for her to hear and see, oh, mommy left men that didn't feel good. I can do that when I'm older.
Here's the thing, and it's something that I'm like literally teaching people now, is if you want something in your life, whatever it may be, you have to be it, right? So like if you want love in your life, you have to understand what that love is, what that love looks like and feels like, and then you have to be that. Mm-hmm. If you want a healthy partner, you have to understand what makes you unhealthy and become healthy, right? Like there's habits that you've formed that were protection mechanisms that you need to probably let go of. And then there's habits that you have that have been really good ones that you need to build on. And one of them is having enough courage to even send this email in. Use that as a habit to build on. Become who it is that you want to attract. And when you do that, more times than none, you actually won't even be let down, and all the fears actually won't even happen, because you've become so intentional with what you want and who you are, that you're going to attract somebody very similar. We attract who we are, or we attract what we believe. So make sure who you are and who you believe are the best that you can be.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, and then your daughter or your child, whatever it may be, is watching that.
Yeah.
So.
And then in terms of the diagnosis of things like depression or bipolar, the best therapist I ever had, I got therapy for free through my corporate job. And in order to continue adding sessions, she had to clinically diagnose me with something so that my insurance would cover it. And she would never tell me. She had a yellow writing pad that she would diagnose, and she would fax into my corporate job to make sure I kept getting my sessions paid for. And I'd be like, what did you write? And she would just smile and be like, I know better than that. She knows how powerful the minds of people who sometimes suffer from brain pain are. And she knew that I would hang on to that like a badge of honor and then use it as an excuse. Like, oh, I behaved that way. Well, sorry, I was diagnosed with extreme anxiety.
Yeah.
Right? And so start saying, I had bipolar.
Yeah. Yep.
No matter what. No matter what your situation is, I used to have bipolar. I used to have it. Or as Baby J taught me the other day, he's like, don't call it mental illness, call it brain pain. Because mental illness is kind of a permanent phrase. Whereas if you say brain pain, it sounds like, oh, a passing headache.
Yeah, there was a guy who jumped off the Golden Gate Bridge. It was on a podcast and lived. And when he got back, he's a really good speaker and stuff now. And he was talking about it. And he said that when you tell people like you're struggling with mental illness, there's such a negative connotation with it now that you keep yourself trapped in a mental illness. And he said that there's studies and things that they're finding where words are so, we all know words are powerful, but we just don't want to use it correctly. But he said when they switched that to brain pain, people felt like there was a way out of pain, because there always is, right? Pain is never forever. A lot of times it's ebb and flow. He said, so yeah, the power of words is now slowly helping people like get past suicide and past the struggles. So
I loved that phrase. Mm-hmm. It definitely lifted something in me that was like, oh, I don't have mental illness. I have brain pain.
Yeah.
Everybody does.
Yeah.
They really do. I'm going to go to the bathroom, but I'm going to leave you to kind of freestyle. I drank so much of this coffee.
Okay.
Here you go.
You get like 60 seconds of Baby J coaching.
Baby J freestyle. No, yeah. Leave me with a bar of a question. What is it like? Because I think there's a lot of our listeners who are in a relationship with kids and they want to get out of it, but okay, they feel stuck because you know how it feels. You feel stuck because, well, shit, I created a life or two or three with this person. I can't leave. How do you leave a situation where you created children with someone? And then how do you date after?
Okay, well, you better be going longer than 60 seconds. All right. I think step one, when you are in that situation and you have created a family and a life and all these things with somebody, and you get to the point where you're like, wait, this just wasn't right. You have to have honest conversations. it's something I didn't do. And it's something that if I could go back, I would have the morals and the integrity to do, is have that conversation with that person and say, hey, here's what I'm struggling with. Here's what I feel is probably the best outcome for myself. I don't know about you, but maybe both of us. And here's the steps that I'd like to take to make this a healthy journey for us. Because all too often we do like I did, and we say, this is wrong. This, I don't know my way out. This is too heavy. The blanket is over my head and I can't breathe. I'm going to go to the most extreme I can to get out of this situation because I feel that's the only way. And it's not. You have a choice. You have a choice today to make the right decision. I definitely didn't, and I wish I would have. But it all comes down to having very intentional, honest conversations with yourself, with others, and again, being upfront and honest with the children involved, because at the end of the day, they see and they feel everything. And if your words match the feelings and what they see, their lives will be forever positively impacted instead of negatively. So you didn't get to hear everything I was saying.
No, I'm going to go back and listen, though.
But I answered that question.
Yeah, you've handled it beautifully. And my best friend's co-parenting. I know a few other people who are co-parenting are trying to get out of a situation where kids are involved. And you guys, I can't even begin to imagine what that must feel like.
It's
you've really got to have selfless. I really compare it to people who have had abortions. Like, nobody wants to have an abortion, and I'm very pro-abortion, but nobody wants to. It's never fun, but it's the last act of unconditional love between you and that energy. And I feel like people who are co-parenting are going through a very similar pain.
Yeah, it's
except it's worse because you get to actually see the child and see them cry and see, whereas an abortion is just, pain and blood.
It's
God, we're getting deep.
I was just saying, like, everything in life, especially when it comes to co-parenting or dating somebody new or, getting through anything, it comes down to having like a very intentional, honest discussion with yourself and with whoever else is involved. Yeah. Because if I could go back and do anything, whenever that blanket was over my face and it felt like I couldn't breathe and the weight of the world was on me and I knew I made the worst decision and things were just horrible, how do I get out of this? If I would have just stopped and had an honest conversation with myself and her and even the boys at the time, even though they may not have understood completely,
yeah,
it would have been the morally right thing to do, and it would have felt like it was the right thing to do. And I think there would have been a different outcome. Maybe not a big difference, but there would have been a difference. And at the end of the day, if you do what's right, no matter what, and no matter who's looking, then, I shouldn't say no matter who's looking. There's always somebody watching. Mm-hmm. That's a fact. But yeah, you just having very intentional, honest conversations.
Yep.
About anything and everything.
The answer to both of her two parts to this is conversation. It's talking to your daughter and keeping her well informed. Don't leave her to just watch you and potential partners. Ask her, say, what do you think of him? What do you think of our relationship? Do you have any fears? What do you love about it? Mm-hmm. And just talk to her and get her opinion. And then let her ask why and answer truthfully, because they'll know if you're lying. And then the two part to the mental illness or the brain pain and the bipolar, communicate with your partner about it. Mm-hmm. Say, this is what it's like. You beautifully laid it out in three sentences for us. I didn't even know that was a thing. I feel educated. And so tell that to prospective partners, and that can actually create intimacy.
Basically, what she sent in an email is literally like what I would read to a potential partner.
Yeah, that's what I mean. She did quite phenomenal. Literally.
So
now, here's where I step in. We're going to put our heads in the stars.
That was the cutest little laugh I've ever heard in my life.
She has a lot in her chart that perfectly explain her situation. Let's first start with, right now we are on the second half, but in the middle still, of a really deep, intense Mars retrograde. This is happening to the degree of her descendant line. The DC line, descendant line, is your line of marriage, relationships, partnerships. It is no wonder she sent in an email, and of all things to ask, asks about relationships. So Mars, planet of action, initiative, is in Gemini, overthinking, taking action on things, and it's going in reverse right now, which is feels like we're walking through mud with whatever of area of life he's transiting. And for you, my friend, that's the seventh house of love and relationships. So the heat is turned up for you right now when it comes to that.
Like Baby J on a Harry Potter ride looking backwards. Nobody will know what we mean. But
no, we spent my birthday last year at Harry Potter World. And this dude, when I tell you Virgos are the funniest sign, I just can't even. I need to attach a GoPro to my head so you can see. How funny that. Oh, I think I blacked out like two times from just laughing, lack of oxygen from laughing so hard.
I had to make sure we were all going safely backwards.
Okay. But so she's a Gemini sun at 0 degrees. She's very unfamiliar with Gemini energy, which can be dangerous because Gemini is, they rule talk, 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 think, think, think.
What house?
Never shut off. Sixth house of Virgo.
Oh, okay.
Right? So Gemini
has to be perfect.
Energy,
has to be perfect.
Gemini is exactly. Picture it as like five wild horses in the desert. They are running, and Gemini, that's their mind, doesn't stop. And she's brand new to this, so she is learning how to harness the power of her mind. And quite frequently, it can get out of control and manifest as brain pain, right? So really, really, really study your Gemini sign and how to use it to your benefit. I always tell my Virgos and Geminis who are ruled by Mercury, which is the mind, don't sit and meditate because it's not for you. Go for a run. Walk on a treadmill while listening to this podcast. Fold laundry while listening to a guided meditation. Move your body to get all this energy out while also doing the cerebral stuff. It can really help. And like Baby J pointed out, your son's in the sixth house of Virgo, the perfectionist syndrome. I have to be perfect. And deep down, I don't believe I'll ever be perfect enough.
Yeah.
That's the downside of this. The high side of this is you are a teacher. You are a coach. You are an intellectual mentor with a placement like this once you can harness it. Now, here we go. Now we're diving into the relationship stuff. Her moon. Our moon sign rules our heart and our emotions, what we need to feel emotionally safe. Mm-hmm. Versus in the sign of Cancer. Oh, man. A Cancer moon is kind of tough. Just like our Scorpio moons are tough too. But Cancers, our Scorpio moons are just depressive, quiet, introverted when we're upset. Cancer moons are very reactive. And they're very reactive when they don't feel like their love is being returned. But most of all, when they feel like they want to create a family with you. You're going to provide a basic sense of security for them, whether it's through just love or finances or shelter, food, whatever. Yeah. And when that is taken from them, they react and their emotions get out of control because they're so big. The high side of a Cancer moon is you love being a parent. You love making a house a home. You can really heal mother wounds for a lot of people. Because that's Cancer. Now, your moon lives in the eighth house of Scorpio. You mate for life. Your soul smoothie, your relationship sign is Scorpio Cancer. That is deep love. You need someone who can meet you in the deep end of the pool. If they can't, it's going to really trigger your Gemini of, why don't they love me? Why won't they talk to me? Why won't they? Rah.
Yeah. Which I could see how that could come off as, and I know they there's diagnosis, and I'm not discounting anything because she's going through a lot, but I could see how in the eyes of Western Med, that mind could easily look like a disorder.
Yeah.
When actually, it's just really learning how to harness all the shit that's just going on and kind of root it all.
Mm-hmm.
So
the vast majority of successful actors, singers, songwriters, poets, they have placements like this and they suffer from anxiety and depression. They just choose to say, oh, here, I'm in a mood. I mean, I'm speaking for myself as well. I've never been diagnosed because I don't want to be. I'm sure I could be. But when I get in those moods, I want to write. I create. I make my best art.
Yeah.
Instead of saying, I'm going to let this fuck up my relationship.
Or, yeah.
I'm going to let this make me bingy and just lose myself for a minute.
Yeah.
But her moon in the eighth house, she needs a trusting, deep connection with both herself and her partner. So you may be a social Gemini, but you need Scorpio depth when it comes to relationships. And I'm telling you, you go date a Scorpio or a Cancer Sun with more Scorpio or eighth house placements. Mm-hmm. These people are going to love you for your bipolar.
Yeah.
They're going to want to learn it, study it, read books about it, podcasts about it, and really get to know you and how you, and they're going to help you.
Need to get a Virgo, Scorpio moon, Cancer rising.
That's you. I know. Yeah.
You get somebody like that, and A, they want to be of service. Mm-hmm. B, they understand the depths and the darks of why
so
you
curious
have,
about it.
Yep, why you have what you have. And then also, yes, if as long as you're open and honest, get unbelievably curious about it.
Yeah. Now, her chart just screams exactly what she was explaining about love. Let's start with Chiron. Your Chiron, this is an asteroid of a wound in our chart. Yours is in the sign of Libra. This is wound of relationship. They're often painful. You feel unworthy of love. You feel incomplete when not in relationship. And this lifetime is about the search for companionship. Boom. My people with Chiron and Libra have such a wound from relationships. And it usually, just as she said, it usually stems from childhood. 0 to 10 years old is usually when they see parents cheat on each other, or similar to her story, just men coming in and out and in and out. And it sticks with them hard. And they go around, and let's say a guy cheated on her mom. She sees that guy, and every single guy that introduces himself to her.
Yeah.
So this is, again, something that you're going to have to rewire the brain to see everyone as who you want them to be instead of who you think they are.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yeah.
Her Venus. Venus is your love language in your chart.
Tell me she's got Scorpio.
She doesn't.
Oh.
No, she doesn't have any Scorpio placements besides her eighth house.
Oh.
Moon. Her Venus. Venus is how you love and how you expect to be loved back. So it's the love language in your chart. Hers is in Gemini. She needs someone that can talk and listen.
Mm-hmm.
She needs someone who will listen to her but talk. Mm-hmm. Right back. She needs, my Venus and Geminis need to be flirted with their mind first before they get in bed with anyone else.
Yeah.
You have got to intellectually stimulate me. And it shows up in the seventh house of marriage and love. This girl has got love on the brain. I bet as soon as she disconnected from the father of her child, she was like, all right, like, where's my husband? Where is he? She doesn't have any Libra in her chart, but it is heavy. Relationships are heavy, like a heavy topic of I got to have it.
Yeah.
Now, we're going to get into aspects here. Aspects are those blue and red lines in the middle of a birth chart wheel.
Okay.
Her Venus is squaring off, so in a boxing ring with fighting, her Saturn and Aries. What does that mean, baby Jay?
I feel like her Saturn and Aries are going to kick the shit out of that Venus.
Well, that's Saturn like. Is our karmic lesson.
Yeah.
The thing we promised to learn in this lifetime. So when she reincarnated, she said, I promise to learn the lesson of Aries, independence.
Mm-hmm.
And so when that's squaring with her Venus in the seventh house of, oh God, I want love. Mm-hmm. I want a husband. I want to be a wife forever till death do us part. She's fighting. Well, my karmic lesson that I can intuitively feel is I need to be independent and I need to set boundaries with men. And if they say, oh, I can't handle bipolar, you say, fine, fuck off then, because somebody definitely will. That Aries confidence is squaring with that Venus desire for love.
I feel like that square is almost like if you were to take a piece of paper and rip it in part and think that, like, I can't have a full sheet of paper. Like, this just doesn't work. I can't have independence and a very depth or soulful, intimate relationship. Like those two just don't go together because they're fighting. It's like, no, you can have a soulful, deep, loving relationship and still have massive Aries independence.
Yeah. Yeah.
So
her life lesson is to fight for love and stay close to others even when you want to be independent. Right? Now, this is the cherry on top, and this is the last piece of your birth chart I'll bring in. Your North Node, which is your spiritual purpose in this lifetime, pictured as the North Star of your chart that you just want to float away into, is in Libra. It's actually sitting right next to her Chiron, not quite a conjunction, too far away, but in the same sign, in Libra, next to her wound. So this is good news for you, my friend. Your wound is in Libra. That's your Chiron. You're not stuck with this for life. Yeah. The wound is where the light comes in. And often in my career purpose-driven readings, I bring in Chiron. Because once you can master your wound and teach it to other people who are going through the same wound as you, you love it. It's your superpower. It's a permanent jetpack that you have on. Now, hers is in Libra, so there's a wound with relationships, but her north node is also in Libra. So this is fated. This is saying you're destined for great love. It's going to happen for you. Yay! It's in the stars. But you have to work on that Venus square Saturn, and you have to work on that Chiron in Libra. Can you heal your wounding with relationships? Her Chiron's in the 11th house. Isn't that yours too?
Mine's in the 11th house, Gemini.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So you guys are kind of similar with this.
Yeah.
Chiron in the 11th is fear of groups, crowds, collective. This is often, I have it in my notes here, as starred social anxiety, right? So she could go out dating, go on a dating app or whatever, and just have crippling social anxiety. Like, oh my gosh.
Yeah.
As soon as they figure out who I am, like maybe the love bombing or that infatuation she mentioned is to overcompensate for when the onion layers are peeled back and they get to see who she really is.
Yeah.
It's like, well, wait, if I can really impress them in the beginning and get them to fall madly in love with me, they won't leave.
Yeah.
Once they get to see my bad days.
Yeah. No, it's true. It's very true. That's why I think the greatest thing she could do is go into everything in life with an honest conversation.
Yeah.
And I think it'll change everything.
I do too. Honest with your daughter and honest with all prospective partners.
And yourself.
The scary conversations that you think will push people away will actually pull them in.
Yeah.
Yep. Your north node is destined. A beautiful marriage, a beautiful partnership is in the stars for you. So thank you for submitting that question. That was really good. And thank you, Baby J, for being the feet on the ground for us and sharing your story very vulnerably. I know it's not always easy.
It's I am harnessing it more and more because I see the benefit that it gives, and I wish I would have had it. So, yeah. Yeah, me too.
So, you guys, if you want to submit your question and birth chart, we'll have my email in the show notes. Go to lightworkers-lounge and sign up for our Monday What's New and Good email. You can see it all over the website to sign up. It's really fun. I've been enjoying connecting with you guys in that intimate way. You guys have mentioned it's like reading a short story every Monday. I'm like, yes, thank you.
And the other thing you forget to do is, guys, if you have not got a copy of the Moon Journal,
yeah, slide I made on that over. For Cancer Moon. So if you guys want to purchase a copy of that book, you can find it on Amazon or our website, lightworkers-lounge.com, for a signed copy from yours truly. Baby J, thank you for joining me on this episode. You're not plugged in. You gotta come talk.
Okay.
Maybe we'll record an Astro Advice Column episode this weekend.
Yeah.
Ooh, you're really close to my face. This is essential. We'll see you guys next episode.
See you later.